Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Trans Rail Lighting Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suraj Sonulkar from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Huda. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, we welcome you all to Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Trans Rail Lighting Limited. From the senior management team, we have with us Mr. Randip Narang, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Deepak Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Randip Narang, Managing Director, for his opening remark, post which we'll open the floor for the question and answer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to Trans Rail Lighting earnings call for the first quarter 26. We've started the financial year on a strong note, delivered robust growth in revenue, profitability, and order intake. Our consistent order inflow led by core T&D segment has further strengthened the order book, which is coupled with our sharp focus on execution, reinforces our confidence in sustaining this momentum in the coming quarters ahead. Revenue grew by 81% year-on-year to 1,660 crores for Q1. PAT more than doubled. This is a clear indication that our growth is profitable and well-calibrated. During the quarter, our EBITDA margins for the quarter were 12.03%, which is arguably one of the best in the industry. Our ability to meet our guidance on back-to-back of healthy order book, planned approach, our well-diversified geographical presence, with our rich experience of our team members. On the order book front, we secured new orders worth 1,748 crores in Q1, led by predominantly in power transmission and distribution. While these included primary orders for large transmission lines by Indian clients, notably, this also includes our largest-ever substation project, which we'll be executing in Africa. The order intake is 72% higher than compared to Q1 of previous year. We are also seeing traction in the civil EPC space, where we're actively evaluating high-potential opportunities that complement our core strengths. As of June 30, 2025, our unexecuted order book, including L1, stands at 15,637 crores, giving us a clear runway ahead going forward. In terms of the order book mix, approximately 93% of our unexecuted order book remains in the T&D segment. Within this split, remains balanced equally between domestic and international T&D projects. However, the total order book of the company is 60% domestic and 40% international. We've completed large projects in Q1 of 2026, including two projects of 765 kV and three lines of 400 kV, and one project in Africa. An important highlight of this quarter, I would also like to bring to your attention that there's an upgrade in our credit rating by CRISIL, which becomes AA- with stable outlook for long-term and A plus. Previously, our short-term rating was upgraded from A1 plus from A1. More details will be shared by our CFO on this. As most of you know, we're in the midst of phase-wise multifaceted capacity expansion, which we plan to fortify our ability to meet the rising domestic and global demand. Our phase one of 327 crores of CapEx is progressing well. The brownfield expansion of our tire factory is almost completed in a staggered manner, and greenfield project is on track for commissioning by end of this financial year or by January of 2027, which means January 26, financial year 27. Further, phase two involving 198 crores of investments have been initiated, including 58 crores of additional CapEx expansion, which will be completed by Q1 or Q2 for the financial year 27. With these CapEx expansions, we see a substantial increase in our supplies of towers and conductors for our internal EPC projects and products also. The business outlook for T&D sector, both in India and international, continues to be strong, driven by infrastructure growth, government initiatives, increasing energy needs, and our large-scale of operations, advanced manufacturing facilities, and a diversified international presence position us to capitalize on this demand. Our focus remains on securing high quality orders with aligned with our execution capabilities. We follow a selective bidding approach, prioritizing the right margins, the right clients, and the right geography. We believe in disciplined strategy which will enable us to enjoy sustainable growth and bring true value to our stakeholders and shareholders. May I now request our CFO, Mr. Khandelwal, to take us through the financial highlights for this quarter. Deepak, over to you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everybody. I will now take you through our consolidated financial result for Q1 FY26. During the quarter, we reported a strong growth on all our key performance parameters. Our revenue from operation for the quarter stood at 1,660 crore, registering a year-on-year growth of 81%. Our EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 200 crore, up by 66% on year-on-year basis, and EBITDA margin for the quarter stood 12.03%. Profit after tax for the quarter come at rupees 106 crore, which represents a year-on-year growth of 105%. From a balance sheet perspective, we remain in a strong position. Our return on capital employed stood at respectable 27.47%. Our net debt to equity is at 0.37 times with a debt of ₹613 crores. Our working capital days stood at 76 days, which includes IPO fund. If we exclude that our working capital days, IPO fund from the working capital days, it will come down to 69 days at the end of the quarter, which is well within the industry standard. As highlighted by MD, recently we have seen an upgradation in our credit rating by CRISIL. Now our long-term rating is AA- with a stable outlook, while our short-term rating is upgraded to A1+. This should not only help to reduce the cost of borrowing, but more importantly should further strengthen the trust of the lenders. With this, I would like to open the Q&A and look forward to receiving your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. And congratulations on a very strong set of quarterly results. So my first question is on the... I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, you are, you are.
First question is on the bid pipeline that we see in both domestic and export markets. Let's say in the next 1 year to 2 years time frame. So we have been successful in securing, a significant growth in the order inflow, even in Q1. So in terms of both the market, the total market of, T&D in domestic and export, and our strike rate in those bids. So if you can talk about that, that's my first question.
So I'd like to share that the market opportunity, potential of the market, as we see today for the next 12 months, is around 100,000 odd crores, 50-odd thousand from India and 50-odd thousand from India. And we are looking at bidding at least 25,000 crores in the next 3-4 months. The potential is good. We're looking at a strike rate of 8-10% in terms of win rate. So that's the profile we're looking at, and we're looking at being equal to what kind of orders we brought in last year, around 9,500 crores. That is what we are, and therefore we feel there is a robust opportunity and the trend will continue as we did in Q1.
Understood, sir. And this strike rate of 8-10%, I assume, is from domestic market?
Both. We feel that our management of what to bid and where to bid depends on our risk matrix. Very careful about the geographies or terrain or the client we bid for. Then is a reasonable market, kind of market potential. So this gives us the right profile for bidding jobs and the margin profile we seek.
Understood, sir. And a related question on the on our bidding strategy for orders. So, and especially in the export market, All of us know that we had an exposure to Bangladesh project, the Teesta River project. What is the kind of exposure left there, and how is the cash flow situation panning out in that particular project? And going forward, what are the key geographies that we are targeting? If you can name a few top five, let's say, the geographies that we are targeting going forward for order inflows.
Good news is that a Bangladesh project is going well. We were around 15% order book, percentage of order book as of at 12%, the execution is happening well, and by end of the year, we'll be 6% of our Bangladesh execution is happening on time. On cash flows, we are being paid on time. That this will happen, and by end of July next year, this project will be over. Second part of your question, that which are the priorities of our geography. Our geography priority is principally, we're looking at Africa, India, and Southeast Asia. The three geographies we're looking at. Of course, we're already there in SAARC. So principally Africa, India, and Southeast Asia.
Understood, sir. And last question, if I can squeeze in. Sir, as on the interest rate, so now that we have done an upgrade on the credit rating, so what will be the change in the cost of borrowing? What was the cost of borrowing earlier, and what will it be now?
So actually, has happened very recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, as mentioned by our CFO, some opportunities to reduce our interest cost will happen in the next 6 to 9 months, and we are very optimistic about the so I hope I answered your question. Thank you for your questions, Abhijit.
Thank you so much, sir. Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar from Alchemy. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. If you can tell me what led to this kind of growth in Q1, is there any spillover from previous year's orders, or and can we extrapolate this growth for the rest of the year?
So the growth has been predominantly based on the execution focus and the number of jobs. We are now at a stage where post design engineering client approval, they are in execution phase. So the momentum is because the execution is happening on time. It also reflects on the quality of our order book. It also talks about our backward integration in towers and conductors, which enables us to supply on time. So therefore, it's a mix of several factors, but predominantly we have a very good structured team to execute our jobs, and it is happening as per our plan.
Any slippage from Q4, sir? And can we extrapolate this growth for the rest of the year?
Yes, we are looking at the same trajectory as we have said. We're looking at what we had promised earlier in guidance of 22 to 25% growth, and we are in the same lines of guidance as we speak today.
Got it. Sir, on a yearly basis, can you give a split in terms of what percentage of orders would be from T&D EPC and what percentage would be from the manufacturing business, and what could be the segmental margins broadly?
We are predominantly a T&D company, as we mentioned. So 90 to 92% will be T&D, and for us, product will be a small business, towers and conductors, which may be 2 to 5%. But our focus is on the EPC bit, and we will continue on the same trajectory. So our other segmental split will be civil jobs, railway electrification, and poles and lighting, which is 7 to 10% of our portfolio.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky. Also, I would like to announce that each participant, you have to ask only two questions, please. Next question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So after the execution in quarter one, do you see a case where it is possible to comfortably be growing faster than the 25% revenue growth which you earlier called out at the beginning of the year?
So the execution depends on the client commitments we have made and what we believe is the right mix of execution, because we believe that everything has to be planned and structured. So we are looking at a 25% growth, and if there is an upside, we will get to know in the H2. So as of now, we maintain our guidance of 22 to 25% revenue growth.
And on the margins, is there any tailwind or is there any headwind that we should be knowing on the margin side?
Mr. Pritesh, can you be a little louder? We can't hear you properly.
I said on the margin side, is there any tailwind or headwind that we should be knowing considering the projects that you're executing?
So we are comfortable with the margin announced, which is around 12%. If you remember in the RHP, when we listed in December last year, we had given a guidance of 11.5% to 12% would be our EBITDA profile, and we are maintaining the same. We maintain the same guidance going forward.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
And of course, our EBITDA numbers are one of the best in the industry, so we are happy to maintain that.
These margins you're getting on your incremental inflow also as of now?
Yes, so the margin profile depends on how structured and you define your margin, either order intake or existing jobs. So we balance both and we therefore believe that these margins are sustainable.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to ask two questions only. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunities. So my first question, this solar EPC is in a new segment. Like, what kind of expertise we have to compete in utility scale projects, or otherwise we focus on street lighting side only?
We are focusing on EPC execution in solar, and we build a team over the last 1 year, engineering, design, execution. So we believe that when we get into a new product segment, we first build the infrastructure, the teams, organization before we get into the execution. All that has happened over a year's time, and we are bidding for new EPC jobs, mostly overseas. We believe that that's where we can add value, and domestic we are yet not bidding.
Okay. So secondly, right now Bangladesh did a revenue of 1,200 crore in last year with receivables of 400 crore. How much receivables we have received in Q1, and any further new bids we are planned in this financial year?
So I'll answer the last part first. We don't plan to bid in Bangladesh as of now. We first want to execute the jobs in hand, which is going well. We looked over almost from our order book point of view, will be around 6 to 7% left out after executing this full year, which is planned, and we want to finish the job by middle of next year. And the inflow on funds is not an issue at all. We are getting support from a client there.
Okay, that's a small question regarding external sales. Post capacity expansion.
Mr. Balasubramaniam, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question, as there are many participants left in the queue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhimant Shah from ITI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Very good result. Since you said that we'll sustain the momentum of growth both in sales and margins. Now, any PQs that are pending, for HVDC or any other projects that we want to undertake, any PQs that are pending for approval or we will gain, if you could answer that, please?
Line, we've already done 800 kV HVDC jobs, so we don't have any issue with transmission lines. and right. substations will be led by the OEM, so we have no issue. We already got a small job of 400 crores for HVDC this year. So this is KPS2 to Nagpur. So this job is, you know, being planned for execution as we speak. So we don't have any PQ issues on transmission in India or globally.
Perfect. And secondly, if you could, tell us about the bid pipeline, that how is that looking, number one. Number two, within that, how much is government and how much is private jobs that we are undertaking? Private meaning maybe multilateral funding and all of that, that you possibly, you know, as a safeguard, you would possibly be screening.
Okay, that's a good question. So let me answer it. We have around 8,000 odd crores of bids which have been already bid and we are awaiting results. And as I mentioned in this call, 25,000 odd crores will bid in the next 3-4 months. Predominantly, if I talk India, 70-80% will be our government client and 20% will be our domestic private clients. When we bid internationally, we bid with multilateral funding agencies only, and we only bid T&D. So we are very careful that our financial security, the kind of client we work, the geography, the kind of risk we take are all calibrated, and we therefore bid selectively in international.
Very clear, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Bharat Trivedi from InCred AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, sir, with respect to the raw material pricing, did we face any tailwind in the current quarter? Because I see the number is relatively quite low vis-a-vis year-on-year and Q-on-Q. So anything there, and also subcontracting expenses, which are higher. So something on that, if you can say.
So principally, if you see, we don't have any issue on supply chain because almost 60-65% is backward integrated with our towers and conductors, and our factories are running at 95% capacities, and we are now expanding also with the brownfield expansion is underway in a staggered manner between September to March, we will have that happening. So that's a good sign for enabling us to support our projects. Your second question was the subcontractor rates. As we are executing higher quantities, particularly in international, our subcontractor rates have to go up because the mix of international execution in Q1 is more than domestic. So that's a corollary of what is planned, and it is part of our approved process of the cost for this.
Okay, sir, but if I look at subcontracting expense as a percentage of sales, will it be the same levels what we are seeing in Q1, or it will taper down in the coming quarters?
It will taper down because the mix of projects will change as we go along, and domestic will also have the execution happening. So it will taper down for sure by the end of the year.
Okay, sir. And sir, just to clarify, what was the net debt number that you said earlier?
600 odd crores is the next, 613 to be precise.
Okay, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on very good set of numbers. My question is about the Africa exposure you have and on the Mali nation, wherein a lot of kidnapping has happened, not only for our company, Diamond Cement, Kalpataru, and what impact it is having in for us in Africa and other nations. What steps we are taking to take care of our employees, and how does it affect our performance in numbers? Number one.
So principally, when we bid in Africa, we go through a very selective bid matrix, where we look at all the risk, whether it's financial, multilateral, price variation risk, the client risk, the geography, and the actual working on the ground, what kind of risks are there. So if there is a risk which we feel that it is very high, we don't bid. So your question on Mali, that when we are doing a job there, we believe that all risks are covered when we look at bidding, and when we come to execution, we look at all kind of securities and all kind of process of making sure that our people are safe when we are executing. So we take the help of the government, the client, utility, so that we are secure in our execution.
Okay, sir. And second thing is, what are our differentiating factors for our company? For example, we are backward integrated in conductor manufacturing. And what are the other differentiating factors for us? And which are our USP and which is helping us out with the versus competition? And any legacy issues from Gammon days all sorted out, sir? Thank you.
If you see, we are 92% focused on, 90% plus focused on T&D. Which is our strength from engineering, our factory manufacturing backward integration, our execution capability, and ensuring that we manage the execution and before time completion of jobs. So if you see our others, they have diversified into different portfolios, but we are steadfast and focused on T&D. That's one differentiating factor. The second differentiating factor, as I mentioned, is the backward integration. And third is, we believe that we should pick up the right jobs, the right risk matrix, and we are very careful in that. So right margin profile and right risk when we bid, and maybe out 5 out of 10 jobs we don't bid based on our risk matrix. So I would say it is careful selection of a mix of margin and revenue both rather than margin alone.
And legacy issue from German takeover which you took from NCLT. All sorted out, sir, and everything running smoothly, including banks, views, everything.
In 2016, everything has been sorted out many years ago, and Transfer runs in a professional board. If you see a board and management team, they are absolutely professionals and they guide us. The board is very, very active in guiding us, and our executive team, the XCOM, is very professional.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Chauhan from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I was just trying to gauge the industry and I just wanted to understand about your CAPEX. So, sir, what really happened? Like, were the project timings getting delayed due to manufacturing capacity constraints, particularly for towers and conductors, which is basically 60-70% of the EPC contract value, or was it, you know, limiting your ability for bid for larger projects? So what was the rationale behind it, sir?
Rationale of approving CAPEX going forward? So our
Yeah, sir.
Current order book requires us to have an expansion on our factories. So for our towers brownfield, we have looked at our expansion happening for our Dioli and our Baroda factories for towers and a conductor factory in Silvassa. We also have a new factory for towers which is planned for greenfield in Nagpur Butiburi. So all this is part of the growth engine. So from 84,000 metric tons, towers we are going to 196,000 tons, which will happen by March of 26. Conductors again 24,000 to 49,500 kilometers, which will again happen by June of next year. So all this is part of a strategic 3-year vision and a plan to meet our existing order book and the future orders.
Right, sir. So but currently, was it, you know, tampering your execution timelines? Or just, you know, to cater to upcoming demand for internal consumption?
Both. It is to take care of our execution of the current orders and also plan as we are looking at new order booking happening. So we look at how this will support us next year as we come into stream.
Right, sir. Got it, understood. And sir, also, can you elaborate on your procurement strategy for critical products like, you know, transformers and other equipment which are not produced in-house? So, like, how exactly do you select vendors for it? Like, it is solely based on lowest price grade or do you consider other quality technical criteria? Like, how is it exactly, sir?
So, we work with all the top OEMs for our substation business and they're all global brands. We also work when we look at international jobs, importing from global sources. So we don't have any constraint, and substation, whatever jobs we have, are already planned and the order fulfillment commitments have come in from the OEM. So we are well placed and we are not in any kind of stress.
Right, sir. Understood. And sir, is it project to project or do you have fixed partners for the same?
No. It's project to project. We tie up with various global players in terms of project to project understanding, and then we work with them in the execution of the project.
Got it, sir. Understood. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mangesh from All Cargo Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, a couple of questions from my side. So firstly, we've reported really nice growth in the 1Q, and given that we have almost 3x book-to-bill, that 20-25% growth assumption looks pretty modest. So are we expecting any slowdown in second half, or do you think that the turnaround time for these projects have increased compared to what we had seen in the past?
So, I mean, this question is, actually I expected this question. So, if you see the actual revenue of Q1 and you actually look at the full year, if you look at the same trajectory, we will be around 25% growth of what guidance we have given. So, that is what we are maintaining, because it may be compared to last year a higher growth, but what we are saying this quarter, 1660 crores, will lead us to a 25% growth. We maintain the same traction. So our guidance remains the same. We don't want to, overpromise. And if something positive happens, we'll all be happy about it.
Okay. And sir, on similar lines, the question was on EBITDA margin profile, where you have mentioned 11.5% to 12%, which is basically what we have done. But considering the fact that, we are more than doubling the conductor as well as the tower facilities, which would rightly go, it's a part of backward integration. Do you think that some of this impact can be felt, say, in, towards the end of 26 or, say, early part of 27?
The prediction on margins 2 years ahead is actually quite difficult, and really one can't guide you there. But what we can say is that our backward integration is a key factor for us to enable us to get a better margin profile versus our other industry friends. So question is, how do we pick and choose our jobs, as I mentioned? How do we look at the risk matrix? And definitely, we are very conservative in looking at the margins. We want to maintain this and better these margins. So we will look forward to seeing how things go. But I think at this point, 11.5% to 12% is a fair guidance.
Got it. So lastly, just if you can mention what the receivables are as of now, and how much of that is from Bangladesh.
So for the quarter ended, last year our receivables were 1300 crore odd, and it has become right now 1500 crore, and Bangladesh exposure is roughly around 300 to 400 crore.
Which is in the pipeline. Thank you. Terms of payments.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishwanath from Prosperity Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
So, first I wanted to check regarding, does our business have any seasonality? Like, do we see any certain quarter or months where we have higher revenues or execution?
So we don't have any problem in execution. Of course, there are normal EPC challenges, principally scarcity of working contractors on the ground, or monsoons or things like that. Other than that, which we know how to manage and how to handle, other than that, we don't see any headwinds come.
Okay, got it. And my second question is with regarding to our execution timeline. Suppose we receive an order today, how long does it take for us to complete the order?
So domestic orders are in the range of 18 to 24 months, and international orders 24 to 30 months. So let's say average 24 months is what we are looking at in execution, any new jobs which come our way.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes,
you are. Thank you. Good afternoon, sir, and congrats for decent execution for the quarter. I have just one question. While you mentioned about a strong pipeline, I just want to understand a bit on the execution part further. While we hear about some issues related to ROW and labor shortage at the industry level, coupled with some early monsoon that is going on in India, despite this, we as a team did significantly well in this quarter. So can you please put some more color on the driver behind this kind of capability, like what is making us different from the other people in the industry?
So as I mentioned on the call, this quarter we had some good execution happening in international projects because those were halfway through from a design engineering and execution point of view. Our momentum for domestic projects will also post-monsoons catch up, and we see that the clients are helpful in getting the ROW. We are also ramping up our contractor base, so we see that domestic and international both will be executing as per plan, as per what we call an annual budget.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman from Nivesha Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to understand on the tendering process side. So their order used to flow from the government and private in the Q1 and Q2, and major execution used to happen in Q3 or 4, or all the tender used to happen in all over the year, because there has been a good flow of tenders in the Q1.
So what we do as a process is that we have specialized teams for tendering for domestic, international, T&D, substations. We also have specialized teams for bridges, poles, engineering teams and tendering team. So we work on a verticalized basis, and there are subject matter experts for each business. So we tender based on the opportunity of the bid pipeline throughout the year. As we mentioned, our win ratio is 8 to 10%. So this is a process which is structured, and it's a continuous process. We keep on trying to improve this.
On the recruitment side, you are facing from labor sourcing in the domestic or either in the overseas market?
So we had a good year this year in terms of labor sourcing. We have ramped up our labor in the last 3 months for domestic. International also we outsourced locally. So we are facing, of course it is difficult, it's part of the EPC as I mentioned. Labor management and labor retention is something which we have a very clear focus on, and but we are managing well.
Okay. And lastly, on the outlook on the African market and Middle East market, so what's your outlook for that market?
So we see good potential opportunities in Africa, and we are a strong player there working in 15 countries. So that is something which we want to continue. Middle East, we are very selective and careful in bidding. So the right time, we will enter that market.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, just one question on the CAPEX amount that we are planning to spend in FY 26, 27, 28 for the expansion of tower and cables.
So overall, we had in the two tranches of 326 and 198. We've had this approved from our board, which is around 520 odd crores plus, out of which we are doing brownfield projects for towers and conductors, we are doing greenfield projects, and balance we are using as tools and plants for executing our projects. So all this capex will be utilized and will be planned and is under execution in the next 9 to 12 months. And work is underway in a staggered manner. The ramp up is happening. It will help us to execute our current order book of around 1,000 odd crores, and will help us to be sustainable and ready for the next set of orders which come our way this year and next year.
So, sir, 520 crores over a period of 2 years. Is that a fair assumption?
We started this, this year and then part of next year, so 18 months.
All right. And sir, this would be funded by debt or accrual internally?
We are funding 90 crore from the IPO that was earmarked in the IPO. And by rest of the portion, we will do it from internal accruals, and we will avail a loan of around 300 crore. Obviously, the sanctions are in place.
Right, sir. This is...
work is under progress.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshul Jethi from LKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my question is, firstly, I think you have given a good brief idea about the power T&D segment, its outlook for the rest of the year. Just wanted an idea on the other segments as well, if I could get an outlook on the inflows of the other segment like civil, railways.
So, railway electrification, we look at jobs selectively. As you know, railway EPC is a very competitive field. So, we pick and choose our jobs selectively. We are not in a race to build a huge order book here. Where we feel that the execution is timely and the margin profile is good, only then we bid. In civil also is the same strategy. We are building our pre-qualifications. We are doing 3-4 good jobs, and as we build our qualifications, we will look at bidding selective jobs in verticals like bridges, and we are looking at cooling towers. So we are again very selective in building of PQ and execution.
Any bid pipeline, sir, as of now, which are under finalization stage for the civil and railway segment?
We are bidding for jobs in both railway and civil. To the tune of around 2,000 odd crores, and we will get the results in the next 2 months.
Okay, sir. So my next question is regarding the working capital. Your creditors seems to be pretty stretched, around about, I think, 190 to 200 days on an average. So if you could give me a brief idea why such high creditor days?
This is supported by the LC and part of it, and as our debtors has increased, it is the creditors part has also increased to fund the debtors. So business has been increasing, and accordingly the debtors are increasing.
So our net working capital days is in around 70 to 74 was March and 70 is now. So we are within the normal industry average. And we hope to improve this further.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for good results. So we have an unexecuted order book of 15,600 crores as on 30th June. And this order book will be executed in what, next 24 months or it may give more than 24 months?
So it depends on the nature of the order received. Some orders have been received last year, some in the first quarter. The recent orders will take 24 to 30 months as I mentioned internationally. So you can take an average of 2.5 years. We have a good order pipeline which is there as of now. And of course we'll book more orders going forward in the 8 months which are part of this year.
Okay. The maximum of this, I mean, more than 50% will be executed in this year or how is it?
No. We will look at, let's say if our guidance on revenue is 25% growth of last year, we will look at only 30-odd% going forward in this year.
Okay. And what could be our debt position by end of this year?
Yeah, presently it is around 600 crore and with the term loan which we are going to avail for the capex, it will further increase by 200 to 300 crore.
Okay, so net debt could be around 800 to 900 crores by March 26.
Yeah, so we are doing it in a staggered manner. So therefore, you know, these numbers will grow for sure, but we are very careful about how do we look at the payback and details thereof. So every quarter we will share with you how this is growing.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my first question is around the L1 order book of 15,637 crores. When do we expect LOAs for those L1 projects?
So we have 1,000 crores of L1. We're looking at in the next 2 months, we should get these orders.
Okay. And sir, my second question is, while we are bidding for the international opportunities, so are we facing any kind of Chinese competition in the African region? Because we are pretty much dominant over there.
Yes, of course. There are 5 to 10 bidders, including 4 to 5 Chinese companies. We have Indian companies. We have local companies. So there is a challenge. And as I said, we only look at 8 to 10% of market share. So the Chinese companies also have their market share available. And we are happy with what we are doing there.
So sir, how much would be the market for the African tenders?
I would say 25 to 30,000 crores approximately is what we see visibility this year where we are qualified.
Okay, sir. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Bharat Trivedi from InCred AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. My questions have been answered. Thanks for the opportunity. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranjal Mukhija from Growth Sphere Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, I just needed some like bookkeeping, like some data. So could you provide the cash flow from operations for this quarter?
Do we have the detail right now? We can share it with them later.
We can share with you later.
So our investor relations will share that with you, Mr. Chintan. So we'll get that back to you.
Okay, but sir, any idea on like how is that shared out in this quarter?
So I don't think we have any issues on cash flow. We have the IPO funds with us, so we don't see any stress there.
And sir, I wanted to understand the nature of cash flows. How does it fare out like the entire year? Like, is there some sort of seasonality? I mean, where it's there to be lower in the first half and in second half it's higher. Just wanted to understand a little bit of
H2 post monsoons, of course, and the year when you start the year, there are startup budget approvals from various government segments in terms of their funding. So definitely Q1 is slow and it builds up going forward.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask one question only. The next question is from the line of Soham from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
I'm audible, sir.
No, sir. Can you be a little louder?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My questions have been answered. Just if you can provide me the receivables as of 30th July.
As I told you, it is around 1500 crore, but we are well within working capital norms of the industry.
And sir, if you can provide me the split between government and private in this 1500 crore.
Frankly, it is going to be in the range of
80-20. So principally 20% is the orders we are executing for domestic private clients, and that should be the overall mix.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Shah from Toro Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, we have built the capacity for underground cabling in 2022.
So I want to understand that what is the decision motive, what motivates government to go for undergrounding or overheading? And is the margin different in undergrounding and overheading?
So see, the underground cabling comes in with a composite job which is given on transmission, and underground cabling can be part of that. There are also standalone underground cabling jobs which people do. So we are building in a skill and capability to see the opportunities. We need it for our EPC jobs for transmission anyway. We are doing that in Suriname, we are doing that in Bangladesh, we are doing that in India. So those are capabilities which are already there with us. And if there is a specific job for standalone underground cabling, we are happy to bid. And the margin profile, as I mentioned, it is as much as what we do for transmission. So margins are not negotiable. We have to look at jobs and margins in line with what we do currently for other segments.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, congrats for a good set of numbers. So, almost all of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to understand, given there is strong monsoon this year, do we expect some slowdown in Q2 and early part of Q3?
So we've already factored the monsoons in our planning for execution. So definitely projects which are in heavy monsoon areas and are waterlogged, there will be a delay of 15-20 days, which are factored into our execution plan. But we see a steady state of execution happening in projects which are not under the monsoon arena, internationally and parts of India.
Sure, sir. And sir, on the tariff side, there are a lot of uncertainty. So any slowdown we are seeing from client side, how are we things looking on that front?
So we only work with marquee A category clients, whether in domestic or international. International is all multilateral funding. In India also, we work with state central utility and private clients. We don't do much work with state utilities at all. So our getting our funds and our collections is very much with the top-notch clients, and they pay us on time.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all this.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raghav Maheshwari, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, very
yes,
much.
Sir.
Oh, sir, I just wanted to get a revenue split between this international market and domestic market for this current quarter or maybe for this upcoming year.
So our order book is 60-40, 60% domestic and 40% international. And the manner of revenue we see this year will be close to 50-50 for both domestic and international. So therefore, and going forward, we look at this as a 50-50 mix in terms of the way we book our orders and the future plans. And we are very flexible to see where is the better opportunity, whether domestic or international, and accordingly we will bid.
So, sir, is there any reason for decline by 10% in the international orders?
No, again, I said it's a choice of orders we want to bid for where the risk is less in terms of execution timelines and the margin profile is good. So this is a situational thing. Every quarter it will change. Every year it will change. So we have to be nimble to understand what is the best opportunity for TransRail.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you very much all. It's a pleasure to interact with you, and it has been a good call. So thank you, and we will meet you in the next quarter.
On behalf of Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.